time where the world is confronted with many difficulties, trials, and challenges, the glorious church must be revived to continue her mandate of possessing the nations with life-transforming truths that nourish the soul, ignite passion, and restore hope in the nations.
The glory of God is in the church. Jesus, who is accredited with signs and wonders, who performed miracles.
When Jesus entered the temple and there was corruption, he turned the tables around. Let's begin turning tables around.
It's a huge privilege and a huge responsibility to be an ambassador. If we are the ambassadors of Christ, then we must acknowledge his lordship.
Indeed, our world has questions, but the answers lie with the church. Our theme for this year, A Glorious Church Revived to Possess the Nations, seeks to deepen the focus of building a radiant church without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, whilst sparking a revival that there may be glory in the church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, a religious broadcast by the Church of Pentecost. Pentecost Hour, God's living word to our dying world.
Ephesians 3:21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Ono ene nyonyam enkano asafunumu Christo Yesu mu enfankobre santi ebeba.
To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so this is a prayer. And so, you couldn't just pray that to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus from generation to generation. Sometimes you want to kind of teach us as to how we could keep the glory in the church.
And so
Paul taught the church in Ephesus what to do to keep the glory of God in the church. Now remember that those days, like this epistle, is a long letter. There were no verses, there were no chapters.
So when
he has expressed a concern in verse 21, all things being equal, when he is continuing, he will talk about the concern. So let's read verse 22. So I'm sure you tell me there's no verse 22. It is the verse 22 that has been artificially cut off and labeled chapter 4.
Verse 1.
And because there were no chapters, there were no verses, he was just writing. So when I say verse 22, I mean chapter 4, verse 1. So I'll read chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, if we walk according to the calling that we have received, the world will not malign us.
Now,
when we walk according to the calling that we have received, the glory of God will continue to be in the church. What that means is that walk just as God expects you to walk.
And
that will not bring God's anger because we are doing what he wanted us or he wants us to do. That is why he's saying that as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you all, the church, to live a life worthy of the calling we have received.
And you all say,
afei me erade de duani metumfo munna asorni na se munante se de efata ofra wodi afremo no.
What is the calling we have received?
Ofra ben na yensaka.
First Thessalonians chapter 4.
Mommy anko Thessalonica 4 ma edikan eti enan.
I'll take verse 7. First Thessalonians 4 verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. So he says that we should walk according to the calling we have been called. And here he named the calling that we have been called.
He
says that, but to live a holy life. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life.
2
Timothy 1 verse 9.
Timothy, woman, I told you, you need to be a
He has saved us and called us to a holy life. He has called us to what? A holy life. So when he says we should walk worthy according to the calling that we have received, what he's trying to say is that we must live a holy life.
It is our case.
And in that kind of life, the Spirit of God will dwell with us forever, from generation to generation. Now, when we are talking about purity, or let's say holiness, we are looking at how God sees the believer. We are talking about holiness. We are talking about how God sees you. See, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, there was this story of David who took Uriah's wife. Now let's go to the last chapter. The last chapter will be verse 27. Now, so when David killed Uriah, because of what he had done, just to cover up. Now, when the man was dead, David had her brought to his house.
David,
so everyone would have thought that the man is doing the lady a world of good, because now you send his husband Uriah to battle and the man died in battle, and then the king is so kind of bringing this woman to become the wife. That now, is how people will assess it.
Now, David,
he has done well.
Why are they?
And she became his wife.
Na obeye ne yire.
And bore him a son.
Na owo obere mama no.
But the thing David had done,
na adia David ye no,
displeased the Lord.
And so Ewurade ni.
You see the last line.
Mo hu insinsan ye twato.
The thing David has done,
dear David, yeah, no,
displeased the Lord.
And so, brother,
so when you are talking about holiness,
it is here, come, what you are.
We are not talking about you leading the worship.
I mean,
when sometimes we come to church and we lead worship, or when we are worshiping and you see our faces, you may never think that we can sing. So some of us are crying, lying, those things are peripheral. Now, David has covered the evil, but God has seen it. He has all the details.
Say to David, sorry. Now here the Odi and Kami are sorry, and I yan kasa ya sorry. Who shall say the bia? Yaki carry your nim, near kata yenina yeswa. One tree ya, one for boni bien susuni paneda. And so David, not there all you know, as why the papa, and so not
when you're when we are talking about holiness, we are not talking about walking and keeping your hands behind you.
Say ye can't crunkrun ya, yan kasa wona mwa, what do sa egu which is a
we are talking about a life that please the Lord. See, David was the only king in Israel who had his personal priest.
David,
Nathan was almost like his friend and a personal prophet.
Now
the prophet was unaware. The priest did not have any idea. But this time they may be praising him. But the Bible says what he did displeased the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4.
Hebrew 89.
Verse 12 is very popular.
Hebrew 89.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Today I'm interested in verse 13. Hebrews 4. Let's start from verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Now, if we are saying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, he says that when the Word is coming, if you are saying the Word is God, then the Word judges the intentions of people. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Verse 13. Let's read the first line. Ready, go. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, if you like, from the Word. And from God's sight. Now, nothing in all creation.
Mama, you can catch it. You must do me a sign. I'm saying, na any abode biara, and na edi ewo nenim. Opa beka se asem no enim. Eti bibia ni wiasia ehintano.
Everything is uncovered.
Bibia edan enim adeja.
And laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Na edadie.
So we are not going to give an account to me. So you don't work to please me. I'm also thinking about what I will say when I meet him. So both of us will stand before him in judgment. So don't make me your Lord. Never think that the presiding elder is your God. Don't live to please him. The Bible says that nothing escapes his eyes. And he is going to be in the seat to judge us. This is not to kind of disturb your spirit, but rather I want this to encourage you to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Because of this, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he is always cautioning us, as you
say.
Cautioning and warning. Because if this happened to David, it can happen to me. It can happen to you. This is the man that God says that I know a man whose heart is after me. So what happened? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this particular verse. See to it, brothers and sisters. So he was writing to the church. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God.
na akuma bonia enyinie ama mumu biara mu na wanane mfiri onyakopo
atia sinful unbelieving hearts
akuma bonia enyinie
that turns away from the living God
ah e why nipa efiri onyakopo atia sifunu
but encourage one another daily
na momututu muhumuhu foda
as long as it is called today
adebiara wobodi nse ene
so that
na
none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now he says that we have to be careful. That we don't move away. We don't have sinful, unbelieving hearts. That our heart is not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2.
Hebrews 4, man, it's
verse 1. Verse
1.
Shall we read together? Ready, go. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not. What that means is that we can drift away.
Mama yankin kan emom wa kan kasemu yenti esese yeso niema yate no emuden manu broso na yansane ho da.
Just drifting simply means that you can be standing here but opa enti nipa na omohwe no be magin so ujin ho but pa na opa. But it's a kukrum, no pie, a check. Yeah. Now that is why he says that let us all be careful.
Ain't it also mum na yenhwe yi?
Be careful.
Yenhwe yi.
Don't think that I'm an elder.
En kasa me ya sorpeni.
I've arrived.
Me ya sorpeni.
You see, you can have an elder who is married to a deaconess, but they have a very bad marriage.
E beti me abase, wo benya asorpeni a wa ware osomfo ba.
And they know.
Now, but see,
when you come to church and you call for those who have issues in their marriage for counseling, would they come?
Or
let them come for some prayers for deliverance. You see, the deceitfulness associated with apostleship, a prophetship, I'm a pastor, I'm an elder. These things does not mean that we have arrived. For me, if you want really to disturb someone, give him position, you see.
We mohu enada yes eto de bia ebebata asmafo ye edifu ye asofo ye eni ne keka ho sane me nkyre se waba bedu madwene ye me se wo pese wo ha obi adwene a manigina bia.
Brothers, don't let us glory in these things. Pastors fight over who becomes what. These things should not define us. There's something better than becoming an apostle. Living a life that pleases the master. Living a life that pleases the master. And so please, my dear elders and deaconesses. So when we are talking about real holiness, it is a state of a person's heart. The real holiness is the state of a man's heart. The heart makes the man. The heart makes a man.
So
what are you talking about the heart? The Bible describes as the inner man. It's when we are talking about the spirit and the soul together, and the Bible says the heart.
It is a worker soon any okra no and a trono freno akuma.
Matthew 15, verse 19.
Matthew 15, verse
19.
Matthew 15 and verse 19.
For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder. Adultery.
sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Now, out of the heart comes all this evil. So when somebody is a fornicator, it is not from the flesh. It is from the state of the heart. It is out of the heart that all these issues come. What does that mean? What it means is this. We need to be, we pay more careful attention to the heart. Because with the heart we believe. And from the heart flows all kinds of evil. And it is in the heart that we begin to fall. So we must pay close attention to the heart. That is why Proverbs 4:3:24 says that guard the heart above anything else.
And you know,
why? Hebrews 12:14-15. Make every effort to live in peace with one another. And to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So we must make sure that no bitter root grows up within our spirit or our hearts. When it does grow up, it says that it will cause trouble and defile many. Now, bitter roots create bitterness in people. It is bitterness is the malady of the heart. It is a sickness that attack the heart. Bitterness is seed of resentment in the heart of people. It is acquired. No one is born bitter.
Now,
it comes from our interaction with people. Now, what we see, what we hear, what we read, the things that happen to us can cause us to be bitter. You see, the Bible says that no matter what we do, offenses will come. No matter what we do, somebody will bow his offense someone. In this life,
but we are seeing
nobody, you can't have all the people loving you. You can't have everyone understanding you. And disappointment is a major factor of life. This pastor met this lady, and he told this pastor a story. That you see, she was going to marry. Just about 2 weeks away from the date. The friend was going to be the bridesmaid. Is that the bridesmaid? This lady snatched this man from a friend. Are they married? He said, yes. How long? 2 years. Tomorrow I'll give you details about that. Disappointment is a major fact of life. See, the world is not fair. Sometimes people who are fabulously rich, they can't conceive. People like that, they always have certain things on their mind. And some of them may be even be bitter against God himself. Sometimes they will sit down and say, I've been doing this for the church, I've been doing that, but look at that. Don't let somebody's ugly behavior destroy your beautiful heart. It's not so much about what happens to you. It's about how you handle what happens to you. So if you don't guard your heart well and evil things get in, you'll be so bitter and it will destroy you. And it can destroy many people
too.
So guard the heart. It is more important than the titles we carry. So this evening, I didn't come here to just tell you how you can work for the Church of Pentecost. I think that you have been working for us and you continue. But I'm concerned about your salvation. I want you to pay attention to your heart. And be somebody who pleases the Lord. When you please the Lord and I please the Lord. When we together pray. The Holy Spirit will come down.
Home,
and the glory of God will continue to be with us. May the Lord bless all of us. Now, many times we don't even have time to read the Bible as officers of the church. You see, you don't fast, but you fast on the word. You see, you don't fast. Ask for food every day. But you fast on the word. Do you understand what I've said? So how many days? Some of you have gone over 40 days and 40 nights already. She said, you can't fast on food for even 1 week. But as for the word of God, today I didn't read. Yes, I will not read. 1 month he has not read. 40 days he has not read. So he is fasting on the word. He has gone past 40 days and 40 nights already.
Now,
when you are doing this, nobody takes the title away from you. You are an elder. But you are an elder who does not read the Bible. You read it when you are going to preach. The devil is well aware. And if you don't take care, you'll be drifting. Let us guard the heart. What is going on in your marital life? What is going on behind the scenes? For him, nothing escapes his
eyes.
Let us open our heart to holiness. Without which no one can see the Lord. And let me conclude by saying that blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see the Lord. Shall we rise to our feet?
Zinde
Miriam.